marvellous. Or alternatively,
the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Editions with Alex Levchuk and the Midweek Drivettes on Siren 107.3 FM. A 21st century radio programme with 23rd century philosophies.
Oh, I don't know. It's there all the time. What a day. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 Midweek Drivettes in the studio. Cameron, would you like to guess which Midweek Drivettes are with us this week?
I don't know. I'm still focused on the whole news story. They were talking about Elton John's birthday. Was that what they were talking about?
How many hours have you actually got left as a Canadian citizen before you actually become totally sort of south of the border oriented?
I think about 20 hours left.
Okay, well, you know, just savour that part of the Commonwealth which still exists before you actually hand over to whatever happens within the United States of America, unless, of course, they wish to actually come back to us. We don't want to start things off from that point of view. We've got Larry Nemechek coming up from Los Angeles shortly. We've got Lily Holliman, of course, and a whole heap of others. We've actually got, in terms of names, Mary Dancy, who, like the Queen, is celebrating two birthdays. We have the official Mary Dancy birthday show tomorrow morning, just so it's sorted out from that point of view. Mary is with us. We've got the return of Emma Tinson. Yay, Emma!
Yay, me!
Every day's a birthday with Emma, quite frankly, because it's just fun. We've got slightly concerned Fiona Williams, who's back with us, but still concerned about writing press releases. Don't worry, Fiona, it'll all work out perfectly well and splendidly. And besides, I've already named you next week as the official, so there's going to take on board a new student who's entering level 2 public relations. I've kind of already allocated you as a mentor for that soul, who's coming up all the way from a different part of Lincolnshire. It's amazing. And we have Emily Jones back with us. How are you, Emily?
I'm good, thank you.
And let us not forget, of course, I know you're a personal favourite, Cameron, because she's from Keith Peterborough. It's Tessa Leanne Snott. Yay, Tessa.
Yeah, so I'll speak very slowly for her.
What is it? Is this what comes of actually putting Access All Areas for Nashville live on Facebook? I mean, is that the kind of craziness that you've actually come to now? I mean, please.
There you go.
You know? I mean, we can only take so much. By the way, I still think we need to get more upbeat with these tunes. Having said that, there's an extraordinary collection, because today is the Midweek Drive Music Playoff. I'll be handing out the little slips of paper for the voters to actually make their decision. That'll be the Midweek Drivettes and more. We've got music from Jamie Porter, from Careless Sons, from Glitch Code, and from In Isolation, new music for New Siren. And one of those entrants will be the official Midweek Drive tune, which we will kind of do lots of pushings to and all sorts of other areas. But obviously, every week we have a Access All Areas Nashville. I'm putting the words in some kind of coherent order there, which Cameron.
Nashville Access. But
Exactly. Nashville Access. Yeah. And Maple Star Music and Media. It took me years to get that one in the right sort of order.
I know.
It happens. And you have brought along another treat today. So I don't know what I'm going to do, but David Ball, no relation to Alan Ball, it's over to you. Tottenham Hotspur supporting Cameron Tilbury.
Back in the 90s, when I was on the radio in Canada, and during the 90s, country music was really slick and really polished, and everybody, you know, called it the Nashville sound. And out came this guy that his voice didn't sound like anything you were hearing on the radio. He was much more traditional sounding. And he hit big with Thinking Problem, and he had a couple more hits after that. And I just thought, man, back then I thought he was really cool. His name is David Ball. And if you go to his Facebook page and you find out, you know, kind of what he calls his form of music, it's country, western swing, but he also calls it cornbread jazz. I think this is a great example of what cornbread jazz is. This is from his album Sparkle City, and if you're kind of a jazz fan looking for something a little bit different that goes into the country genre, I think you'll really dig this. This is his latest album, Sparkle City, and one of my favorite tracks on the album. This is David Ball, and What'll I Do If I Don't Have You on Siren 107.3.
What'll I do if I don't have you? How will I find my way? How will I know which way to go? Oh, I'm begging you to stay. What'll I do if I don't have you? How will I find my way?
don't know, David. What will you do? Let's find out. Let's find out. In the words of our Missouri correspondent, Cornbread Jazz. Not that I'm saying Missouri is full of cornbread jazz people. Fiona, what did you make of David Ball?
It was interesting. I didn't really get cornbread jazz vibes, but it was quite nice.
Mary.
Yeah, we really liked it. It felt like really nice and easy, so I was just like,
Yeah. See, it was quite memorable. I thought early Val Doonigan, actually. Emily Jones.
It was chilled, and I liked his tone, but I agree, I didn't particularly feel incredibly jazzy with that one.
Emma?
It's not jazzy jazz hands. Jazzy.
No, it could have been. We didn't see the video this time around. I was too busy.
No, the only time you find jazz hands in the South is if you're at the wrong end of a gun.
Cameron, you might say that. I could possibly comment. If you're listening in New Orleans, we obviously apologise for anybody who's actually taken that too literally. But Tessa?
I thought it had a old country feel, like Glen Campbell. So I didn't think it was like a modern country sound.
Yeah. No, that's good. I think it's overall it's thumbs up from that perspective. So
cool.
I think we like that. I mean, we haven't sort of liked it on Facebook, but then you know it's David Ball. It'll grow on us. That's the important thing. That's it. So anything else you wish to share with us, Cameron, other than the fact that suddenly, because of Leicester's debacle, Tottenham could be doing well.
On Monday, I met up with a guy that we had on the show not too long ago, Austin Wallert.
That's real country music, Austin. Real country music.
He's in town this week, and we're talking. We're going to be doing some work together, so we'll have some new music from Austin coming up very soon, and lots of cool things going on with him. We're actually going to be down at one of the TV studios here in town today. He's doing a live thing there, so lots going on for him, which is really cool to see a young guy come up and really be working hard and kind of going down a bit of a different road with his country music. He's more of a kind of rodeo guy, so he's more following in the lines of Chris Ledoux and guys like that. So it's cool. I'm really happy for him.
I'm still working on trying to get a rodeo option put forward for the public relations degree program at the University of Lincoln. I don't know. If people just not taking it seriously. It's strange, but still. Or journalism, possibly, as well. Enough of such stuff. Let's ask...
Yes.
Our joint birthday girl, because it's George Takei's birthday today, and it's the Queen's tomorrow, and it's been Mary celebrating. Mary, would you like to put those last two questions to Cameron Tilbury, please?
Oh, the Queen, not a Queen. I got it. That's why I asked about Elton.
He'll be in Lincoln shortly, in June to be precise, actually. In fact, you'll hear all about...
Oh, I got to tell you, just while we're talking on Elton John, remember I was doing some work on Nashville, the TV show, and... He was on set not too long ago, so he's going to be up. I guess y'all are a year behind there, so you'll have to wait till next year to see him. But he was on the show, and actually a bunch of the people were in there when he was singing. He did Rocket Man and a couple other songs. I can't remember which. But one guy said, you know, I've spent $1,100 to go see Elton John one time, and this time I got paid to go and see him. It was only $55, so Elton still comes up on the positive end, but still kind of cool.
Absolutely. Or Reg Dwight, as we like to refer to him on this side of the Atlantic. Anyway, Crocodile Rock, you know, Saturday night was made for fighting, you know, Goodbye Yellow Brick Road, Tandle in the Wind. I'm stopping Mary from asking the last two questions. Go.
Okay. Have you had an interesting telephonic link with us today?
Yes, I have.
Good. And will you be joining us again next week?
I'll be back next week. Looking forward to it.
Will you be a fully fledged American then?
I will be.
We'll have to look at our quotas then.
Yeah.
Notes from a Very Small Island can only mean it's time for our top Jersey correspondent, Anna Maria Lewis, on the Midweek Drive.
17 minutes and 20 seconds past 5 o'clock, Anna. Do you have the same time in Jersey?
Yeah, I think we have, actually. Things are, they go on Greenwich Mean Time in Jersey, so, same time here.
Larry Nemechek, bless him, ace Star Trek correspondent, and indeed Dr. Trek, and indeed these days incarnation of Leonard Bones McKay, was saying, look, I've been 6:25, 8:25, 10:25. It's all right. The explanation as to why we're moving Larry slightly earlier in the programme will be forthcoming. If you haven't already sussed, it's due to a little music marathon we're having today. Mm. Well, I say music marathon. Music playoff is how we've referred to it. Four brand new tunes. Technically, actually, if we were collecting this together and you include two newbies that we actually will be featuring tomorrow, this current week in the Midweek Drive will be featuring no less, and if you include Cameron's as well, than seven brand spanking new pieces of absolute tunes.
Wild.
It's outrageous in so many ways, but still, and all quite extraordinary. So we can also say tomorrow, making his debut on the production and talking about the Lost Kingdoms of South America, Lost Kingdoms of Central America, Easter Island and more, Dr. Jago Cooper. Yes, our very own Indiana Jones, British archaeologist and curator of the Americas at the British Museum, will be on the show. Enough of such stuff. Are you still celebrating, Alan? Alan? Oh, yes, let's get the gender right. Emily, do you know why Anna could possibly have been celebrating recently?
I do not, actually. Oh. Is it because there's good weather? I mean, I don't know if there's good weather over there.
It has a bit to do with it. Well, it's not today. It's blowing a hoolie out there, to be quite honest. But, it's a bit to do with the weather.
With the weather, Fiona, do you have any ideas as to why she might be still celebrating and the citizens of Jersey will be saying, yay, in their own way? I don't know what you do in Jersey, honestly. One of these days,
wouldn't
I'll see.
I want to know what we do in Jersey, honestly. Honestly, don't want to know.
We say the same about Lincoln. No, only kidding. Tessa?
Celebrating work, a birthday, something like that.
It's a humongous achievement. And it's not just Anna, but Anna's been part of it. And I like to feel that her regular weekly correspondence to the Midweek Drive is actually singularly responsible for, and unless Emma going to say, I knew that all along, and possibly Mary. Now, Anna, reveal the news. Jersey is officially one of Europe's top 10
holiday destinations. And better than that, it's the only one that's in the UK.
Yes, exactly.
So it's got an even better status. Now, quite why and how much they paid the people to say that, I do not know. But I think there's some bribery and corruption that's been going on. Because, to be honest, I've seen nicer places in England myself that I'd go on holiday, and I wouldn't. I think it's difficult, isn't it? Because when you say go on holiday, you kind of think, well, it's a nice place to go, but then the cost implication is there. And say if you're in the UK and you want to go to somewhere lovely like St Ives or Tynmouth or some nice south coastal town, it doesn't cost a fortune, whereas it does to get to Jersey. And now we have a rubbish ferry company, and there's only one really, called Condor. And if they're not broken down, there are delays. Today there were no sailings because the weather was bad. And basically that's our lifeline with France and the other Channel Islands and England. So effectively, if you want to bring your car over to the island, you have to pay extra for the car. So it works out really expensive. And if I was living in England, I would rather go to St Ives. I wouldn't like to come here because of the cost.
See, that's what we've loved about you, Anna, and Emma will attest to that.
Bit of pragmatism.
If you want somebody to actually sort of give a realistic viewpoint on the Jersey experience and say, don't come here, you can always rely on Anna, time and time again. But you beat the Isle of Capri, I believe. That came in at 10th place. So,
That sounds nice.
Very good. And standing in every sense of the words. So there you have it. Another reason to actually visit Jersey. The bribery and corruption thing is interesting because, of course, offshore banking accounts, Panama.
I know. That's really rocked a few boats here, literally. But there are lots. There is a branch of Mossack Fonseca in the island, and that's caused a few ripples and of discontent amongst the masses here.
Is it any surprise Tessa's having to sort of find out a different accountant to actually stash our secret millions away? I don't know how many
if you find one, let me know. I'd want to.
Tessa, you were about to say?
I think I've been to Jersey. I don't know whether my geography is quite right, but I went to the Isle of Wight and we took a ferry. I don't know. We went to... There's Guernsey as well, isn't there? Where's Guernsey?
There's seven little islands.
Yeah, I'm sure I've
been
over to Jersey.
One of them is private, but Guernsey's fine. Guernsey's actually nice if one had the option. It's nearer to England as well. That's a good reason.
I'm sure I've done Jersey.
And the one you wouldn't want to go to...
Are you paid for by the Jersey Tourist Company, Anna?
It's an interesting one because the tourism office has actually moved downstairs on the ground floor of where I work.
Oh.
So, yes, I could be doubling up and earning a few bucks doing that, really.
You could actually sort of address all sorts of things. I mean, you'd be saying it's not as good as Scarborough next, you know.
I've defended Scarborough to the hilt. I've not been there, but somebody slagged Scarborough off and I got very nasty.
Very good.
I know the person who slagged Scarborough off and I said I'd send him a postcard, but I didn't say who I was.
And that's what we appreciate about our regular Jersey correspondent, as usual. The interface between going live to Larry Nemechek in Los Angeles, or wherever, I think he's California-based. I think we've ever tracked him down, really.
He could be anywhere.
He could well be. I always feel as though he's such a magical person. He's all around us, with us always, really. At least to be back to sort of responding to us in the way that he kind of likes to, which is at the other end of a computer programme. Because I think he had difficulty when we did the location with him in Scarborough, the location report. Couldn't handle me in the flesh. I wasn't actually without clothes, I have to add, but you know, it's difficult. It's different though. Okay, Emma, would you like to put those last two questions to Anna Lewis, who can, of course, if she's near a computer, listen in to the summer Midweek Drive music playoff.
She can vote.
You know, it's open to people if they wish to actually vote in various other things. Lily Holliman's having to do that, so work on that. Anyway, Emma.
Yes, Anna, have you had a good telephonic link with us today?
I have, thank you very much.
Fabulous. And will you be joining us again in the near future?
It would be a delight, thank you.
And this line about your mobile phone, has it got another new one? Is there another thing you'd like to share with us before we sort of go from that? I mean, we've been through several challenges with the mobile phone. Not quite as challenged as William Sitwell, who dropped his phone and then it was run over by a taxi. But he's going to try and reach us a week tomorrow when he's actually going to be halfway up a glacier. He's insane!
Oh, God. Let him not drop his phone. Let's say prayers for that.
Yeah, exactly. Well, that's important, particularly if you're climbing a glacier, because you never know when you could need it. Really. All sorts of ways. Can we have a round of applause for Anna Lewis, please? Very good. Spence, it's very polite as well.
It tickles, I can see I had your fun.
Hey, this is Larry Nemechek, Dr. Trek, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive.
It's very impressive, though, he did that in one take as well. Yes, it's Larry Nemechek, yay! And as we look at the time on the clocks, we see it's 17:28 and 12 seconds here, which is 5:28 p.m., which is not too far away from 9:28 in Los Angeles. Is it, Larry?
It is indeed. Good morning.
Good morning
from me.
A delight to connect with you again in the traditional method of across the telephone, the great divide. You don't have to put up with me being in your face, so to speak. But never mind.
It was a pleasure to have you in my face, even for the brief time we were at Scarborough.
Look, I know you were devastated. No sign of Mary Dancy, Emma Tinson, Emily Jones, Tessa. I mean, Tessa, she simply was celebrating her sister's 18th birthday. You know, it's fucking
So you all are just going to keep teasing me with these anonymous voices. So I have to put up with it.
In fact, I make them up all myself. I just use a computer program, and it's the Midweek Drive. It's do not exist. Yeah, it's just a different line of time. The reason we've had to move you around a wee bit today, and by the way, let's not go any further because we missed out on saying happy birthday to William Shatner back in March. So let's say happy birthday to George Takei. How do you say that?
Happy birthday,
George Takei. Ensign Sulu, of course, from the classic original series, and of course, Hero's father in Heroes. Before we progress on that, it needs to be explained why we've moved Larry around a bit. Because it's at times, it's a bit like the original series of Star Trek. Is he on a Wednesday night? Is he on a Friday night? Is he on a 10 o'clock slot?
It keeps the mystery for the listeners.
In know the official to say, when is he going to be from that point of view? Well, partly today is due to a little annual thing that we've kind of reinstituted called the Summer Midweek Drive Music Playoff, in which we have four top tunes that are being developed, which all will be featured and which the Midweek Driveettes have to give their views to, etc. Plus, you might say, well, that's okay, that only takes like 20 minutes. And sort of thing. What about, well, Lily Holliman, who's deputising for our Ace Director Phil Leonis this week, because he's in a meeting, I believe. Lily is one of the, I think she might be the president of the Los Angeles Breakfast Club, which you may have heard of, Larry, is a traditional part of Los Angeles Hollywood lore, which used to have, you know, the Mary Pickfords, etc. It's still in existence, amazingly enough. Exactly.
Wow.
Yeah. And she needs to chair that, and that takes place between 9 a.m. and 10 a.m. Los Angeles time. You see the calculations we had to do in order to kind of bring you on the show today in any way, shape or form. But we pulled it off. That's the important thing.
And you did. You did. No, it's a tight fit for her. But I'm glad you've got it all worked out so beautifully.
Well, I tell you, time, it's a whole new world. But we can actually, feel free to listen in via the computer for the actual thing. We've got a little teaser medley in which we've got all four tunes. Not all of them, because we don't have time for that. And Larry wants to have a few words to say about life, the universe, and indeed famous quotes. In fact, I've got in my right hand here a copy of Star Trek, the magazine, from September 1999. Yeah. And we can see he's still contributing there. And we've also got a collection of immortal lines uttered by Leonard Bones McCoy. Dr. McCoy uttered some of the most memorable lines in the history of Star Trek. Some of the quotes which I will be asking Emily and Mary to actually read out to you to see just how well your encyclopedic knowledge of Dr. McCoy is. But don't panic yet, Larry. You know, it's like we can relax. You've got time to look at the magazine if you want. 1999. Exactly. It's the DeForest Kelly tribute issue.
Yeah, I'll put it off my shelf right here.
Exactly.
Right.
That's it. Let's give you a little semblance of the. I'll refer to these as the Larry Nemechek Awards. You know, if it's okay to actually, it's the summer medley routine. These are just four of the tunes that we'll be listening to in full. After actually, we've sort of had our full Larry Nemechek feature, starting off, of course, with this.
Hey, this is Larry Nemechek, Dr. Trek, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive.
And there you have it. You'll hear the whole uncut versions from Jamie Porter, Sound of the Summer, Dickon and Careless Sons, of course, and Glitch Code, and In Isolation, A Certain Fractal Light. In the second part of the programme, without possibly the Larry Nemechek remix there. I was very impressed with the way you managed to get the timing right there. It's very good, very impressive.
How about that?
Just...
So So you had the listeners call in and opine about their favorite of the songs and all that.
They can do that if we trust the listener, although sometimes I find it difficult to do that. I was only kidding, listener. We love you, really. No, you can't go to me. But no, the initial thing will be the jury in the studio, i.e. the quintet of quality that we've actually got.
All right.
And we'll also open it up to Lily Holliman and any of our contributors, because it'll be Lily's job to effectively have the casting vote in these sort of ways. So very exciting.
All right.
But not quite as exciting, of course, as selecting those classic Dr. McCoy lines from a variety of sort of episodes, etc. And you know, we might indeed ask Larry, which one would you like to go for first? Do not mention the title of the episode it's taken from, Mary. Okay. So,
My favourite is I am a doctor, not an escalator.
I'm a doctor, not an escalator. Now, I've got that straight away. Larry, have you got any idea? I'm a doctor, not an escalator.
That's from my favorite. This is an interesting little thing you've got. Now, that's from my favorite underappreciated original Star Trek episode, Friday's Child.
There you are. Friday's Child, with, of course, Catwoman, the original Catwoman, Julie Newmar, who portrays one of the fine folk and from the fine folk from that planet of the strange headgear. What's the strange?
It's a desert planet, but we still wear big carpets.
And Capella, yes, the Capella.
Yes,
and, of course, if memory serves, that was also done in the same Vasquez rocks that featured in Arena and, indeed, the battle sequence of Star Trek Shore Leave as well between Kirk and Finnegan.
You're absolutely right on. A point for you, Ali.
Yeah. It's like a challenge personified, really. Emily will have a sequence, obviously, for your good self on Gone Girl in the not-too-distant future. Maybe not this decade, but it'll happen.
Might not do as well on Gone Girl.
The next quote, please, because we'll take three of these. So the next one, please. Emily, do you want to take this one?
Yeah, I quite like, what am I, a doctor or a moon shuttle conductor?
What am I, a doctor?
Okay.
Yeah.
I have to stop and think about this. It's not one of the... I can hear him saying it. What am I, a doctor or a moon shuttle conductor? Yeah.
Genius, yeah. Think flashing lights. You could see the light flashing. Why didn't you tell me? Big clue there. You could see the light flashing. Why didn't you tell me?
This isn't Man Trap, is it?
No. But you're in you're in the right sort of segment zone.
Corbomite Maneuver?
Yeah, Corbomite, exactly. This is Tranya. Exactly. Tranya, a wonderful sort of tasting drink. Genius stuff. Stick with us, Fiona. You'll find your education moves in leaps and bounds. Very good. If Jamie Porter and Dickon and Paul and Ryan are sort of wondering, what have we got ourselves into for the Midweek Drive music play? It's all right. We'll chill out. It's good. It's infinite diversity, as we like to say. Emma, would you like to take one as well?
I shall. Let me pick a good one. Mm-hmm. I'm a surgeon, not a psychiatrist.
That's from Sit on the Edge of Forever.
The class, which is so good because the time issue that we've had. We've had the concrete donuts. We've had the, frankly, my dear, I don't believe in you either. Just so many scenarios. And I believe one of DeForest Kelly's all-time favourite Star Trek episodes. I think that one, The Empath, and obviously Star Trek IV, The Voyage Home, were DeForest Kelly's favourites.
Mm-hmm. I know Sit on the Edge was his favourite episode.
Yeah. Before Cordwainer Bird obviously became Harlan Ellison and became back. No, he didn't. He was Harlan. And you can get the original one now. Because, Larry, let's get the shameless plug in. There is a chance to get from LarryNemechek.com the original City on the Edge of Forever script details, how is that, and voices of the original cast, etc. Share with us how, if people want to be completists and really appreciate Harlan Ellison's original script as it was meant to be, there is now that opportunity.
Right. Well, it's not the original voices, but Harlan Ellison always did his other books in writing with an audiobook company called Skyboat Media here in L.A., and the controversy around the City on the Edge of Forever is a famous one, and it's gone on forever, and the history's been tangled. And Harlan, who is not a shy flower at all,
he likes his litigation. Let's be honest.
Yeah, he's out there, but he's been very vocal about how he feels the history around that's been mangled and his good name has been trampled in that. Even though his version of the original story won a Writers Guild Award, whereas the original aired version won the Hugo for dramatic presentation that year. So they're all winners. But he started writing, he compiled all of his script drafts that had been belittled and talked about, you know, were overblown and could never be produced and were out of budget, and he never responded to their notes back in the day, and that it went on for a year before they finally wrote it and produced it. He put all that down into a book a few years back, and they've just recently done an audiobook where, and his health is starting to fail. He's not a young chicken anymore, so they were trying to get this done. There are actually versions of the original story that have Sister Edith, but so much more to them, and the time travel link, and different characters, and even drug dealing. Where McCoy was not the central figure, it was one of the crewmen that had a drug. Of course, it was very space age science fictiony drug addiction.
You can't have drug abuse in a 1960s TV series. It's as bad as having interracial kisses.
I imagine that. But anyway, they have a professional voice cast who have brought his earlier versions of the script to life, interspersed with his running commentary about how over the years, all these stories rose up that were not true, and it's his chance to beat them back. And then aside from all that, if that weren't enough, then there are some commentaries from David Gerald and Dorothy Fontana, and I think some of the actors, I think George, and they asked me to come in and weigh in and do a commentary, and I did that. And at the same time, I also did a line in one of the I played a dying transporter chief in one of the scenes in one of the iterations.
It's what all great writers would aspire to.
Media, and it's coming out in a couple of months. So if you're really a completist and you want to hear Harlan reading some of his own, diatribes, trying to set the history straight on why he was not a total nincompoop about working on this show, get his side of the story. That's coming out in a couple of months.
It's always good when you listen to Harlan Ellison's views on television as well, or as he likes to refer to it, the glass teat. Anyway, that's a different time. Besides, we're all into a different computer code word now completely. Tessa, have you got any questions you want to put to Larry, such as where exactly in Los Angeles is he? Or various other points we've moved to
debate. That's a good one. Where in Los Angeles are you? No, how is the weather? Because that always depresses us.
And
well,
what is an indication to where he is?
When I was just over, I was up in the north with, north of you all and down London and even down to where's the Navy base? I've just gone blank.
Portsmouth, perhaps.
Portsmouth. Thank you. The weather was all over. We have a cloudy day and some rain, but then there'd be some beautiful sun. So it was all over. But no, I got home and it was in the 80s in Fahrenheit. And sunny, and it had rained the week before here, but it's back to being hot and dry, and we're back in our drought. So it's sunny. It's sunny morning. I'm in North Los Angeles. We lived for probably 20 years in Burbank, which is where Warner Brothers and NBC West Coast and Disney's actual production studio is, and now we're just a little bit north of that in an area called Sunland Tahunga area of North Los Angeles, right in the mountains, or the valleys.
It's just like being back in Oklahoma. When we feature Shirley Jones, our Academy Award winner from that point of view, I think, the corn is as high as an elephant's eye. It's genius.
I don't think it's quite Oklahoma, but...
Oh, you see, this is what comes of the perspective of a Brit, you see. It's a strange and bizarre experience. Sci-fi's gone.
Alex, I never will forget this. My wife and I were one of the last times we were, it was about 2002. We were in the big Marks and Spencer's anchor store. We were on an escalator coming up to an upper floor, and it was set up where there was a stage, and I guess they had traveling, student groups. And I'll never forget this moment. We were coming up the escalator, so it's a little bit of a moment, right? You emerge. And as we emerged, there was this children's choir singing Oklahoma from the musical. And I just looked at Janet and I thought, they really didn't have to go all this trouble to welcome us. But it was just one of those little funky moments. Hearing a British accent at Oklahoma was always a treat, and it was just a moment. Anyway.
Larry, many people have even commented on how moved they were when you actually attempted Yorkshire. Yes, Larry, never checked. Did Yorkshire? No. How did it go? How did the lessons go? Because, last week we were featuring Steve Dickinson, of course, who was celebrating the success of Sci-Fi Scarborough. Garrett Wong, pronounced correctly there, Garrett Wong, not Garrett Wang. It's all right, Garrett. I know you'll never forgive me. He obviously just ran away from the shop, actually. But from your own point of view, would you like to? Have you continued those Yorkshire-isms, Larry? And have you actually managed to bamboozle some of your fellow Californian folk by coming up with a classic Yorkshire phrase?
You know, we were so jet-lagged and behind schedule when I got back. I hadn't picked up that hobby yet. But I was practicing on just trying to get my scabra right.
Yeah, scabra. The Australian scabra person. It's fantastic.
right.
That stage of getting a musical together for the Midweek Drive, you know, scabra, it will happen. It's critical stuff. Emma. Thoughts for your good self. Emma, of course, has successfully handed in her dissertation. Tragically, no mention of Harlan Ellison or indeed David Gerrold's World of Star Trek in at all. Never mind. With the last minute suggestion.
I mentioned Star Trek. I can't mention all Star Treks.
Anyway, thoughts from yourself, Emma.
Just how have you been? Have you been really busy lately after Sci-Fi Scarborough and now back in the States?
Well, we took... We took about four extra days, actual days, and went down to Portsmouth and stayed with a friend and saw some sights. And my wife, part of this was the five trips we'd been over before, we'd never had any tourism time. And aside from one long day trip up to Edinburgh and back, had never been out of London. So we tried to really set some actual 4 days to get out and do some actual token tourism. We actually came back to London and took some, you know, we actually did Big Ben and walked around the Eye and all the some Westminster things and went to the British Museum and did some really tokeny tourist stuff. But it was a lot of fun. But when we were in Portsmouth or down that way, our host had mentioned Jane Austen's house, and my wife's a big Jane Austen fan. So we went over and spent almost the whole day over in that neck of the woods. And that was very restful and relaxing way to kind of recuperate from all the trains and all the travel.
And all those fans.
So we had a great time.
Uh-huh. And all those fans turning up in Scarborough saying, it's the Larry Nemechek battling through. I mean, you know, Claudia Christian and Garrett Wong, they were just left in the shade. Eclipsed, I think. Eclipsed. Tragically, I actually missed the sort of presentation where you're on stage because I had to head off to actually deal with some spring chickens. But still, never mind. It's different. Nobody here with us chickens, Doctor. It's a different life. Did you enjoy the Sci-Fi Scarborough event, Larry? And can we look forward to seeing you back in Britain again in the not-too-distant future?
I had a wonderful time. A wonderful time. And I also have to say that the Crescent Hotel there... Peter and
It's all right. Larry doesn't just forget names. It's Peter and somebody at the Crescent Hotel. It's fine. They'll know who they are. They'll be tuned in, sorted out.
Oh no!
We can keep it as a little cliffhanger. It's a bit like the Menagerie or the Cage. We have a cliffhanger ending. Okay. We say, you know, Larry will come back and actually. Oh, did you see Katie? Oh, Pete and Katie.
I ruined the cliffhanger.
No. Previously on the Midweek Drive. Oh Lord above! They'll be into all sorts of other areas.
They were such wonderful hosts and flew. I did some things off the spur of the moment and was kind of flying by the seat of my pants. And they were wonderful and came right along. Wonderful hosts there, and as was everyone, both the Steves and Andy and Chris Taylor at the convention. Everyone was wonderful. And actually, they kind of learned midway through and made some mid-course corrections for Sunday off of what they'd planned on Saturday. And you know, didn't wait a year. They just the way they did panels. And it was an improvement, and I would say kudos to them for deciding to do that. It was a much better. We had a lot of fun on Saturday, but Sunday was an even better panel experience. So, I my hat goes off to the lead. I have to mention the lead Bradford Starfleet group, Star Trek group there, who were the hardcores, and were great, and came out to all my sidebar events. They were all wonderful.
Which is splendid. And one of these days I'll be privileged to actually engage with Be of Good Self as well from that perspective. Larry, it's been a blast as ever. You are, of course, our official Star Trek correspondent, even though it has to be said, I was thinking about this yesterday, Sherry Jackson, of course, hasn't been back with us for quite some time. Sherry, of course, being in What Our Little Girls Made Of. Yeah, looks like a fine song.
Oh, that's delightful. Yeah.
And hopefully very shortly, Celeste Yarnell might be back with us now. She seems to be back to peak health again, or reasonable health after sort of various other things.
Yeah.
All great stuff there. But Tessa, I think it's up to your good self to, from the Peterborough, England perspective, bowl those last two questions to Larry Nemechek, who will get him fixed on a time slot, which is works well. It's all these two love it. Anyway, go for it, Tessa.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening? I don't know what time.
It's this morning.
This morning.
In California, it's coming up to 10 to 10.
Okay, I'll say this morning. Yeah.
In Lincoln, if you're listening to this, you're thinking, what, 10 to 10? What's happened all day? It's all right. It's 17:50, 10 to 6 in the evening.
This evening / this morning. Yeah. Suits everybody.
Yeah. No, I, as always, had a brilliant time talking to you all. This is a lot of fun.
This is good. Okay, let's carry on. This is a crucial one now. Deal break
coming
up. And
will you be joining us again soon?
I hope so. And I didn't answer your question a minute ago. I will be back in the UK anytime anybody wants me.
That deserves a round of applause. Yay! Go, Larry Nemechek. Go, Larry. Go. There's so many things. Coming up next, it is the Midweek Drive Music Playoff. And if you buy a computer, Larry, feel free to participate in this as well.